Elvis Presley passed away 37 years ago last month, but he still holds a special and unique place in American popular culture and music. Our next guest had a unique view of Elvis in his last days as his fiancée. She shares her personal view of Elvis in a new memoir and aims to clear up some of the misunderstandings about the king. Ginger Alden joins us now. Her new book is called Elvis and Ginger, Elvis Presley's Fiancée and Last Love Finally Tells Her Story. Ginger, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So why, some 37 years later, are you finally sharing the story of your time with Elvis?
Well, I had written down my memory shortly after Elvis passed away for my own personal reasons, just as my own way to hold on to my memories. And I went forward with my life and ended up having a son, and he just turned 20 last year. But in the course of all this time, there were untruths swirling around about our relationship and fabrications. And as hard as it was not to write one earlier, I wanted to devote my time to my son, and I raised him, and he went away to college 2 years ago. And so then I sat down and put all this together.
One thing you write about that your book is trying to set straight is this notion that some people had that Elvis's last year was a runaway train towards suicide, sort of this angle that it was inevitable in a way. But that's not how you see it. To you, what was that last year like?
Oh, absolutely not. And that was very hard, you know, over the years to sit back and see this false portrayal of him. He was looking forward to so many things. You know, he wanted to have more children. We often talked about that. We had made plans to, actually, we had set a wedding date the night before he passed away. He wanted to do more films. He wanted to perform in England. And one evening he told me, he goes, can you imagine if I went to England, I'd have to sing from a cage. I'd need more security than the president. And he was really looking forward, you know, to doing so many wonderful things.
One of the things that you know best that very few people in the world know is what he was really like. I mean, you were his fiance, and one of your quotes about him really struck me. You said, Elvis had his own field of gravity. What did you mean by that?
It's one of those statements you had to be there to experience. When he walked in a room, it was just, the energy was unbelievable. You know, he was such a charismatic gentleman. I mean, it was amazing. You know, half the time I could just say, you had to be there. And I tried to put it in words as best I could in my book.
So he had quite a presence that you could actually,
absolutely.
It felt like, and it's a metaphor, but it sounds like it felt like a field of gravity. Like he had a pull.
He could definitely pull you into his world.
Yeah, obviously fans felt that from the stage, and you felt that close up. And now you're using your book to talk about, you're setting straight some things that you've been sitting on. And I know that Elvis, you know, advised you to put things behind you, but what things do you want to set straight? What are one of the two of the other big ones?
It's just that Elvis was human, and you know, we all have faults, and there were so many stories about drugs, heavy drug use with Elvis, and drinking, and I thought, you know, he never drank. I saw him have two Mai Tais when we were in Hawaii once on vacation. Elvis did have a dependency on sleep medication, which I write about, and about some events that happened because it would cause mood swings with him. And but I didn't want that to define who Elvis was. 98% of the time, he was in great spirits and looking forward to a lot of things.
And during that last year, was music still a daily part of his life?
Oh, absolutely. He left the radio on nearly always in his bedroom at Graceland, and sometimes when we'd be talking to one another, if the radio was on and he was trying to have me understand something, he'd nod toward the radio and say, listen, it's talking to you, you know, as if it was trying to correlate some story, you know, he was trying to explain to me.
And the day he died, you write about this day, reporters swooped in on Graceland, you and his family were there, people just started stopping right in front of his home. What was it like to be in mourning personally amid this huge media event?
Well, it was such a devastating, absolutely devastating day, and something none of us expected to happen at all. And I wrote about walking at one point, leaving a room I was sitting in after it was actually announced that he had passed away, and I went to one of the front living room curtains and peeked outside. It was as if I just had to know that if the world knew what we were experiencing. And I remembered seeing cars stopping down on Elvis Presley Boulevard and people getting out of their cars, and it just, it was surreal.
Now, even though based on the advice Elvis gave you, he said, kill it and get it behind you when someone's saying things about you that aren't true, in terms of moving on with your life after your fiance Elvis is gone, can you ever actually move on from Elvis Presley?
Well, yeah. I mean, I had to, but I've got such beautiful, beautiful memories of him, and many of which I wrote about in the book. But you know, you have to go on in life, and I was able to end up meeting a wonderful man that I married, and I have a beautiful son, and spent so much of my time watching him grow up. Went to every soccer game and baseball game, and just have a wonderful memories of that too.
You write about Elvis as being someone who is very spiritual. That when he was home, he would spend a lot of time reading in his room. What was the spiritual Elvis like?
He was so on a spiritual quest, and that was one of the things I found so absolutely amazing about him. And the first night I met him, I ended up sitting in his bed beside him, and we were looking at a book. There was a large illustration. He said, "This is supposed to be God," and it was a man sitting on a throne with fire, symbols of fire, ice, rain, and wind at his sides. And it was just absolutely amazing, and he was really into Eastern philosophy. Which I think Elvis was always on an inner search, trying to understand why he had become as large as he had in life and left such an impact on so many people. And he was searching through these books and trying to understand a lot of things about life and his own life.
And he thought at some point that he could heal people. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And I walked away from that experience saying, who am I to say that we can't, and you know, self heal. And it was amazing. Some amazing events happened with him, which I wrote about. But there's definitely something special about Elvis.
Can you tell us about one of the events where he may have healed someone?
Well, he was very into psychic and self healing, which I learned while we were in Las Vegas in 1976, and even for myself. And when my sister, one time, her stomach was bothering her, and he would hold his hand over and ask us to think of a healing color. And next thing I know, he's whipping his hand high into the air, and my sister actually said she felt better. And I had sensed this myself once when feeling my stomach a little upset and the power of concentration. So, there were some wild things that happened back in the day.
He's been gone for a long time now. What do you miss most about him?
Oh, I miss his smile, his laugh. He had a great laugh, I just regret that we didn't get to see the films that he wanted to do. He wanted to do more serious films and as I said, perform in Europe. And his smile is one of the big things.
Do you have a favorite Elvis song that you listen to when you want to remember him?
There are so many. When I grew up, I used to stand by my mother and sing a lot of gospel hymns. She played piano, and we listened to a lot of his music growing up. I loved Trying to Get to You, and Memories, and there were so many of His Hand in Mine, and just so many of his gospel songs.
Well, Ginger, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Ginger Alden. She's the author of the new book, Elvis and Ginger. Coming up, we'll talk with an economist about Governor Walker's newly unveiled economic plan for Wisconsin. And we go out to the news with blue suede shoes. I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.
Well, it's a one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, 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 but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but take the help of my blue suede shoes. Well, it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes.